start. We know that there's not going to be any further legislators. Is there anyone? We can wait a few more minutes from the trails folks. Are you waiting for other people, or, you know, we'll give them a few. We have a few minutes of stuff to go through first, but.
They only have access to the dial-in for audio. So Steve Rice is the only other person that we sent the link for the video.
Okay. So when the time comes, we'll wait a few minutes, Kevin. All right. When the time comes, if you want to, we'll be good with that. So I'll call the meeting to order. And normally Herb Litz displays an American flag for us to do the Pledge of Allegiance, but we don't have one tonight, but Fawn does. So if you don't mind, we'll stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. United States of America.
And to the Republic
for which it stands.
One nation. Under God, indivisible,
with justice,
liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we've all been, the committee members have been sent there's Lynn. Okay, sorry, Lynn, I forgot. We started a minute early, or on time, actually. The committee members have been sent the minutes. Have you had an opportunity to read them and review them? Is there any questions about them? And there's Herb.
How are you?
Good. I'll accept a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
I'll move.
Accept the minutes.
And I think, Jim, you have to be on screen to vote. Is that correct? Yeah.
I'll make that motion then.
Okay. So that's a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. So today we have two separate presentations. The first one is going to be from the Trails Report from Kevin Smith. And Kevin, do you want to wait a few more minutes, or are you good to go? Is this your man on the phone here, Stephen?
That is not Stephen.
Okay.
I have a caller at 845-657-2610. Can I get your name?
That's Patty Goodwin, the Woodstock Land Conservancy Board President.
Okay.
So would you like to wait a little while, or are you ready to go?
No, I think we should go ahead and start. Okay. We really appreciate the time that you've given us tonight, and I don't want to delay things for you all. My name is Kevin Smith. I am the board chair of the Woodstock Land Conservancy. I am a member of the Ashokan Stewards Program at the Ashokan Rail Trail. And I am currently serving as chair of the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee. And we really appreciate the opportunity to present our State of the Trails report to you tonight. It's been a labor of love. A tremendous amount of work went into this and a lot of volunteer work, which is very emblematic of what I want to impress upon you all is the extraordinary wealth of goodwill and expertise and knowledge and in the county that are working both professionally and on all volunteer levels on trail projects around the county. It's humbling. To serve with the people on the Trails Advisory Committee, including many people who are not appointed members, but show up month after month after month. They advocate, they're out maintaining the trails, keeping the trails open for the public. It's a really extraordinary, it's an extraordinary asset that we have here in the county. So first and foremost, you know, we're just so appreciative of them because they're the ones, along with you all and your predecessors and the county administrations that came before, that have made this everything that's in this report possible. We wanted to capture what we thought was an extraordinary moment in the life of Ulster County's trails that we saw coming together in the last several years and really kind of coming to a peak in 2019 and 2020. especially including the opening of the Ashokan Rail Trail and the completion of the Empire State Trail coming across the walkway and through some of our most extraordinary areas and communities and natural resource areas. So with that, we decided to take a snapshot of our shared use trail system and some of the things that we know about it, some of the things that we've learned, and also have a flash forward of what's next now that what we have is a true system, and there are still challenges remaining and opportunities, and trails are continuing to come online every few months. Even since we finished this report, the Hudson Cliffs Trail on the scenic Hudson property was completed, a really significant restoration of the northern section of the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail was completed after we finished this report. So this is, we want to thank you all for supporting these trails over a number of years and supporting the trails, the work of the Trails Advisory Committee. And really, this is our gift to you. And we have 1,000 printed copies by virtue of my colleague, Carl, my co-presenter here, Carl Beard, longtime trail advisor to Ulster County, City of Kingston, and several area land trusts, including my own. Carl's been on a grant of technical assistance from the Rivers and Trails Conservation Assistance Program at the National Park Service for a number of years now. And closing out that grant, Carl was able to secure from National Park Service, them printing 1,000 copies of this report. And we want to make them available to you and to other stakeholders in the county, be they governmental, nonprofits, tourism, Chamber of Commerce, whoever it is that can really utilize these in the best possible way. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Carl to start our presentation. Fawn, if you can share Carl's, or allow Carl to share his screen now.
Fawn, you're muted.
And I'll fill in just for 1 second here that we have also owe a lot of gratitude to the Ulster County Transportation Council and the Planning Department. They provided hands-on review and assistance with our report, although all the mistakes and omissions are ours, not theirs. But a lot of the work that you see in here and a lot of what's been accomplished on our trail system is because of the vision that the Planning Department has had going back decades now.
Carl, you should be able
to. Can I share now?
Yes, sir.
And before we do that, I just want to ask if you could please put your phone on mute during the presentation, that would be great. Thank you. Everyone but Carl, that is.
Now, can you see my screen? You can. Okay. It looks different from the way it usually looks when I do this. Let's kick into this. So again, I'm Carl Beard, recently retired from the National Park Service Rivers and Trails Program. And please give me a shout if there's any glitch that you see with this. What we're presenting really is, just as Kevin said, a kind of vision, a snapshot of the trails in Ulster County and a vision of where we, through the perspective of the Trails Advisory Committee, think we need to go in order to capture some really strong opportunities. You know, why this, why now? From the end of 2019 into 2020, Ulster County added over 20 miles of new shared use trails. And as a result of that, the county is really becoming transformed. First of all, what do we mean by this? I mentioned shared use trails. These are not your backcountry hiking trails, but rather bicycle and pedestrian trails that are accessible to all types of non-motorized users. They're, like you see here, 10 to 12 feet wide, reasonable grades as we had, because they generally follow abandoned railroad corridors. And by transformed, I mean that these trails really have changed the way that people live, the things that people do in Ulster County, and the way that people move around. Some examples. The Ashokan Rail Trail opened that incredibly beautiful part of Ulster County to the general public for the first time in 100 years. Transformative. The Hudson Valley Rail Trail, the 7 miles completed from New Paltz to Highland and walkway over the Hudson. Now you can go between those two communities from New Paltz over to Walkway without without getting in a car. Transformative. It hasn't been doable since the days of the trolley there. From New Paltz, the River to Ridge Trail, 6 miles from New Paltz to the carriage trail system of the Mohawk Preserve and the Minnewaska Park Complex. You can go from New Paltz or Highland to those places, again, without getting in your car. That's transformative. Kingston Point Rail Trail, the county's first urban rail trail, enabling people to go from the Midtown Hospital neighborhood down to the Rondout and Hudson River waterfronts. Again, you know, on a reasonable grade without going out on the roads. And then overlaid on all of this, as Kevin mentioned, the Empire State Trail. We can go from Ulster County to New York City, to the Battery, with only about 2 miles of off-road or off-trail, on-road, I should say, 2 miles on-road between here and New York City. We can also go from here north to Albany. A lot of that is on-road. And from Albany north through the Champlain Canal Corridor and along Lake Champlain up to Canada, and from Albany west all the way to Buffalo and the Tonawandas on the Canalway Trail system. All of this is transformative. A statewide, we're now plugged into a statewide 750-mile trail system. So this map shows you kind of the backstory, the opportunity that Ulster County has inherited from our history. There are four main transportation corridors, railroad corridors, that are being repurposed for more sustainable uses as currently defined, and we hope into the future. Those corridors are at the top up here, number one, the Ulster and Delaware corridor with the Ashokan rail trail shown in green, the Ontario and Western or ONW corridor extending south through the county down to Sullivan County at Spring Glen, the Wallkill Valley Railroad corridor extending down to Walden, Wallkill through New Paltz, and then the Maybrook line that includes Walkway over the Hudson and actually is in private ownership. It hooks down south out of the county this way, but it is now connected by the new extension along 299. On this map, the green stuff is what's completed today. The yellow stuff is what was in planning or some phase of development at the time of writing. So some of this is actually now green, the Empire State Trail extending up to the Rhinecliff Bridge. And the red is the remaining opportunity. And footnote the dashed line across the eastern part of the county here, that's the Empire State Trail. So, you know, trails, all of these trails, you know, connect our communities with the special places that are around us. You know, some of them are destinations. Obviously, Ashokan Rail Trail is a destination. Likewise, the Rosendale Trestle shown here is a destination, a recreational destination. But there are also, you know, spectacular views from every one of our rail trails along the way. But in addition to creating these sort of recreational destinations, they also connect from community to community and within communities. So they also offer a transportation function for people to go from point A to point B, again, without going on roads. So, and people are figuring all this out. We have, by bearing down on some of the numbers, we figured that Ulster County rail trails alone received over 600,000 visitors in 2019. That number has gone up. That was a conservative number in 2019. It's probably more in the neighborhood of 800,000 or so. But we're seeing a lot of uses. And this is a page out of the report, and you can read the book if you miss any of this. Don't try to read it on your screen. From all of that use, we have derived at a minimum of $10 million in direct spending by rail trail users. Again, in 2019, the year for which we have the most complete numbers. Now, you know, how do we get that kind of number? Again, it's a conservative number, but basically what we do is we take that total, we break it down by the percentage of people that we know are local users, which is the majority. And then that fraction that are non-local users from out of county, but day trip people. And in addition, the people who are overnight visitors. So you and I on a trail, we'll spend between $3 and $13 per day. All these figures are from about 40 or 50 studies from around the nation over the last few years. Non-local users just spend more than, you know, $15 to $35 a day. That's the cost of lunch, gas, things like that. And overnight visitors will spend more by whatever the cost of accommodations are.
Hey, Carl, can I just mention the fourth category here is really important, which is we didn't put a bullet for it, but what Ulster County has entered into now as a destination, as this network has started to connect and fill out and so forth, is the multi-night visitors. And this is a very coveted category because they spend a lot more money because they're staying here multiple nights. They need more things. They want to go do and see more things. And so there's a fourth category here that's probably even higher. Cycle tourists are one example of multi-night visitors. And we now have the kind of destinations and amenities on and near our shared use trail system where people could stay here easily for a week and not see remotely close to everything. Thank you.
That's a good point. Thanks for jumping in. Yeah, that's really true. The spending rate is about the same, but it's per day. These are spending rates per day. And the bottom line really is that a mayor of a Colorado town told me in 1988, I found that paper. She said that good trails are good business. And she was kind of being a little bit insulting. She looked at all of us and said, of course, you Easterners haven't figured that out yet. Well, I like to think that Ulster County is figuring it out and doing it pretty well. You know, again, what's the nature of the businesses? You know, the obvious stuff, restaurants, snack shops, things like that. There is also what we call the Trail Towns model, a publication put out, generated from the Great Allegheny Passage Trail in southeast Pennsylvania down to Maryland, that shows how to do capture these businesses more deliberately. It's something we should probably look at. And then there's just a kind of a factoid at the bottom. Trails actually create more jobs per $1 million spent than highways. The reason is highways tend to depend more on large machines and engineering firms, and whereas the trails, pull in a more diverse basket of skills, landscape architects, things like that. An incredibly important benefit is health. There's an important study that done some years ago in Lincoln, Nebraska. It was done by researchers from the CDC, HHS, and University of California, San Diego, that found that each dollar spent for trails, for promoting physical activity in trails, yields almost $3 in direct medical benefits. Why is that? It's because people who live close to trails are more likely to meet the recommended levels of physical activity, those recommendations that come to us from every major health organization in the United States, American Heart Association, again, CDC, all of those. And you know the drill. It's 30 minutes, five times per week. People are at least half again more likely to meet those standards. And by meeting those standards, we're directly addressing the big three, obesity, heart disease, diabetes. And these are also noted in the Ulster County Community Health Improvement Plan addressed there. And I think I have the quote here. It says the in the CHIP, the trails, let me see, it's a goal to improve community environments that support active transportation and recreational physical activity for people of all ages and abilities. So it does that, and importantly, it does it close to home. And I think the picture on the right-hand side kind of captures it. This is a photo captured by Kara Gentry from Walker Valley Land Trust, a group she encountered on the trail. They call themselves Strong as a Mother, and these are local moms who get out with their kids. This photo was pre-COVID. Because they said it's just an easy thing to do, and it's a great social forum for them. So then COVID. What we learned is that trails really showed themselves as essential public infrastructure, not just amenities, but places that are actually essential to the quality of life in our county, essential to our health and also our economy. They are public health, trails are public health infrastructure. And I would argue that they're as important to public health as much as any hospital, clinic, gym, YMCA, whatever, because they get used. People are out on them in large numbers. In COVID, it was especially helpful because unlike hiking trails, rail trails, shared use trails are wide enough to enable social distancing. And they also have the added benefit of being alternative transportation. If your kids are busting at the seams at home, it lets them get outdoors, gather together, and maybe learn how to ride a bike without fearing for their lives. So, again, important on so many fronts. The report, really what I think is the core of the report, are the trail stories. I hope you get a chance to look at some of them because the real story is that trails are for people. And they trails connect us to our communities, to our surroundings, and actually to each other. And all of these became so important in the last year or so. And just a couple of highlights from that. The top center is a veteran who now has Huntington's disease, who now rides his tricycle and runs with a pal of his some three times a week. The couple at the upper right came up on the train to Poughkeepsie with folding bicycles, unfolded their bikes and toured Ulster County with their dog and brought their New York City dollars here. Bottom left, a person using a pedal assist is a hand crank bicycle that is adapted for wheelchair users. Our trails are generally highly accessible. And then, your family on the lower right, just out for, riding into New Paltz to get ice cream with the kids. It's so many ways the trails provide benefit to our users, to our residents and our visitors alike. And Kevin, do you want to take it from here? Is Kevin on?
Sorry. Yes, I had to unmute. So, we're at this point right now, and these numbers are changing by the month almost, but we're at 75 miles of shared use community trails out of a potential total of 120. And I'd just like to hit a couple of quick highlights of ones that are happening. You all approved the Linear Park, the Kingston Linear Park to go to construction. And so my understanding from Director Doyle is that this will be going to construction, this summer into the fall, this construction season. And again, as Carl mentioned before, this is an urban trail. So this is a trail that's going to get used by some of those populations that will benefit from it most, including because of some of the disproportionate number of percentage of health challenges that they have. That's a really important one. We have also on the UND corridor at an earlier phase, planning and design, Big Indian to High Mount feasibility study. This is one that I feel incredibly passionate about. It's 5-mile section of the UND, and when completed, that conversion of that 5-mile section to rail trail will tie together the town park potentially and Big Indian, the Bel Air Beach day use area, the DEC day use area, which has the swimming lake as well as day use facilities, Pine Hill Hamlet itself. Sorry about that ring in the background. And Bel Air Ski Center and the cross country ski trails and mountain bike trails. And Bel Air ORDA, Olympic Regional Development Authority, is looking at starting to do more bicycling related activities, including potentially in the future lift access. And they have a trail plan already done for the 1200 acres directly next to Bel Air, all the way over to Big Indian, which is has a cross-country ski and mountain bike trail plan that's ready to be constructed by DEC. So that's a very exciting project. The O&W Link Trail between Washington Avenue and the beginning of the Hurley Rail Trail, long in planning, is really moving. It's just like the last few items that have to be I's dotted, T's crossed. And we're hopeful, the planning department is hopeful that that will actually come to you by the end of the summer and contingent upon your approvals, that will go to construction later this year and hopefully open in 2022. Walk Hill Valley Rail Trail, Empire State Trail Project. You know, these are state monies that are flowing into Ulster County for these trail projects that connected with the Empire State Trail. New Paltz Village, the section of the Empire State Trail that's the Walk Hill Valley Rail Trail in the village of New Paltz, is going to get a major upgrade. They're going to work on safety improvements and surface improvements, and that's slated for late 21 or early 22 as well. The Ulster County Transportation Council Unified Work Program project has a pedestrian cycle path that is proposed at the Boisville end of the Ashokan Rail Trail, right from the intersection, the redesigned intersection of Route 28A. It will extend from there. It'll actually extend right from the trail itself, loop up onto 28A over the new replacement for the Five Arches Bridge, come out at the intersection, and there will be a two-way bike lane or pedestrian cycle path extending right up to across from Onteora Middle School. That's something we just think that's so important. And it just shows once again, the value of these trails for community. So there's a Ellenville Village trail it's not too long, but it's an incredibly important trail again, because it's right in the center of Ellenville, and that connects to a park. And obviously there's all the historic assets in Ellenville as well. So lots of opportunity there. And with that, Carl, I'll throw it back to you. Or should I, you want me to keep going, Carl, with this last slide? So we looked at next steps to give you all a sense of like kind of what are the really tangible things that would really make a difference and keep moving things forward. Complete the trail network, close these four or five gaps to a completely unified system. Start the visioning now for new extensions that are really important, even though they may be challenging, such as how are we going to connect our second largest municipality, Saugerties, into this trail system, given that we do not have a ready railroad, abandoned railroad or utility right of way, or some other really easy way of doing it. We should start that visioning now, even though that may be a 10 or 15 year project. As Carl mentioned before, weave the trails into the communities, gateways, signage, linkages, and then start to focus on coordinating management and stewardship of our trails. And I would put in a plug here that I think it's really important that the legislature start looking at how we can better support what is a network moving forward, commensurate with the role of the county, and make sure that we're not only building trails and renovating trails to a high standard, but that we have the resources in place, we have the volunteer networks coordinated to be able to manage them and keep them at those high standards and operate them at high standards. Count our trail users, because if we can't count them, we, you know, it's really hard to make the case for more investments in the trails, and capture the health and economic benefits. Using that trail towns model is really important. And I think Lisa Berger is going to speak to this possibly after we do.
Meeting about trails.
Okay, I'm going to
stop. Next slide, Carl. Yeah. So with that, you know, that's basically the highlights from our report. We're again very appreciative to the legislature for the amount of work and investment of taxpayer monies into these trails. The county really is the only, a local land trust or a municipality can do certain things because that's on individual projects, but it's really the county where the network lives, the weaving together of these trails and playing that role that only the county can. So with that, I don't know if we have time for any questions, but that is our presentation.
I'm going to stop the share there. Oh.
Great. Well, thank you guys very much. That was very good.
Thank you.
I just want to say that it's one of the things that I'm most proud of in Ulster County are the trails. My wife and I bought myself a new car for retirement, a Camaro. So I like to drive around down the hills in the back hills and see all those trails. And it's amazing the number of people that are using these trails from one end of the county to the other. And I can tell you because I've been from one end of the county to the other. It's just really the economic benefit is very clear to me. The restaurants around the trailheads, the parking lots are filled. You know, you have trouble finding parking at our more popular trails around here. And it's due to your good work. And I just want to take a moment and say thank you for that. And
thank you
for that presentation. It was very, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you.
Anyone have any questions that they'd like to ask? All right. Well, thank you very much, guys. We appreciate it.
You are so welcome.
Okay. So we're going to move on then. We now have a presentation from Tourism Director Lisa Berger for the 2021 tourism plan. And I think, Lisa, this is kind of like a comeback from the original plan active COVID to transitioning to post COVID kind of thing, or hopefully post COVID or something like that. Anyway, I'll let you go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, we're hopeful that it's going to be that's exactly what we're looking at. Bond, you want to let me drive screen sharing ability right now? I do. So you guys are seeing my screen? I'm going to go from the beginning.
Nope.
Nope, you're not seeing it?
Not yet.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Are you seeing anything?
There we go. We can see it.
Okay, we're good.
Thank you.
All right, great. Okay. Is it? It's so hard for me because I've got a double screen. Are you seeing it in full mode? Like, is it full picture, or does it look like?
We see the whole thing with the slides down the side.
Yeah, it's not presentation mode. At least if you go down to the bottom, there's a little, by that little arrow, is a full screen mode at the bottom. To your right.
All right, well, you know what, you guys? I did this once for somebody else, and I can't. All right.
Lisa, if you go down to the bottom right of the presentation, you'll see an icon where it says display settings.
Yeah.
Yeah, go further to the right. And right there, no further, keep going. The last icon, right, keep going, that right there.
Okay, it's clicked, but it's not working.
Here's
what we're gonna do.
We're gonna do this in a totally different way. Now, are you guys seeing it?
Yeah, we can see it fine anyway. It's just not filling up the whole screen. I know
there
I can.
There you go.
There we go. That's
there
good.
We go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Thank you guys for your patience. I'm going to go backwards now. Oops. Thank you so much. I am here tonight just to give you a little bit of an overview of exactly what our marketing and plan looks like for this year. And I appreciate you guys giving me the time. So I just want to focus our discussion tonight on what the department's mission is. And that's to promote and expand cultural, historical, recreational, and economic opportunities so that Ulster County is recognized as the premier destination for everyone to enjoy, discover, explore, and spend their tourism dollars, as Carl and Kevin were pointing out. And so that's a whole lot of words. What does it really mean? It means that what we really do is encourage people to come here and seek a connection to our land, to our communities, and to our people. And I'm going to walk you through the tools and strategies we're going to use this year in order to successfully do that. So these are our goals overall for our marketing strategy. It's to increase the number of people visiting and staying in Ulster County, to increase referrals to lodging partners and overnight bookings, and to increase brand awareness of Ulster County as the premier vacation destination in the Hudson Valley and Catskills. And the reason we are emphasizing overnight stays is because, as both Carl and Kevin pointed out, that's what returns the biggest amount of sales tax money to the county. So it's critical to our campaign. So what's that strategy look like for this year? We intend to build on our highly successful Seek for Yourself campaign, continuing to position Ulster County as a rejuvenating respite with room to roam, with a focus on driving overnight visitation. We will continue to invest in digital and social advertising in the New York Metro and secondary markets as conditions allow. That means as things continue to open up, as it looks like visitation is being encouraged more. We are actively updating our website for a better user experience and overall functionality. And we intend to leverage updated audience intelligence gathered to fine tune and target all of our advertising and reduce waste. We've also invested in travel data and measurement platforms so that we are better able to leverage the money that we have and the time and respond to what that data is saying to us. So this is how we're going to measure success. We're going to measure lodging referrals that are up, website traffic is up. If impressions from our digital ads if their reach, their clicks, likes, and the engagement of our social media posts. We're also going to track video completion rates. So these are the methods we're going to use. We're using digital marketing almost entirely. That is really our focus. We've moved to an advertising plan that advertises the digital era. We will be placing banner ads, programmatic video, static digital ads, and native content. And it's going to be served to people on websites where they're planning trips. So we are targeting people who are planning on going away and planning a trip of some sort. And then that's one of our main drivers. And then the next one is that we will retarget website visitors who fail to look at any of our lodging or fail to click through to book direct on our, which is on our website. It's the ability for somebody to click a link and directly book at a hotel, a cabin, a cottage, something that they looked at. And if people come to our website, but they fail to do that, they're gonna keep being served ads where you're going to be chasing them around the internet. And we, of course, will be doing some paid search, which is, you know, Google ads, like you guys all know. Now, this is an example of what some of our digital ads are going to look like. And we are actually, what you see here are some different titles, but all three versions have the same pictures. so that we are actively in real time getting information from people as to what it is that's driving them to click through. So I'm going to play some of these for you so that you can see that really they've all got the same pictures. It's just a matter of it's the words that you see up in the top and the way that the images are coming up. And then we're gonna, and we are actually using three different versions so that we can figure out what it is that's attracting people. Does the word Catskills grab people? What is it that is making people want, what do they respond to? And we're getting that information in real time, and then we'll be better able to tweak our advertising. This is digital video. What you will see these, they're not really ads. You'll see this video on Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV. You may get a snippet of it on Spotify. And again, we're using beta testing. We have a couple of different versions. We're gonna play this. And that QR code drives people directly to our website. So everything we're doing is driving people to our website with the intention of having them book an overnight stay. Another big part of our media mix is social media, the utilization of influencers on social media and public relations. So the picture of the two kids came from a mommy blogger that we had come to Rocking Horse Ranch and to Pine Grove in the fall. And she did a digital takeover that was highly successful. She used our Instagram stories. She posted content in real time, and it was very, very successful. Right now, we're identifying our influencers for this coming year. I'm so hopeful that this is going to work for me. On our Instagram, this was one of our most popular posts in the last like 5 to 7 weeks. This is Woodstock Way Hotel. And up in here where you see Ulster County Tourism, if somebody clicks on the link in the bio, let's see if this will do it. I'm hopeful it'll do it. All right, now I can't, you guys aren't seeing it. I'm seeing it on my other screen. But what happens is it links to what's called a link tree. And so that what happens is if somebody clicks the link in our bio, it goes to something where you see a banner that says working remotely, do it in Ulster County, find a place to stay or visit our website. We instituted this at the end of February and are seeing really, really good results from it. I wanted to show you guys our Facebook page because there's actually video on the top of our Facebook page. That's new too. Video is what's driving eyeballs on social media, and we've fully embraced that and trying to do it as much as we can. Also, if you look at our Facebook page on your handheld device, you're going to see a button pop up right away that says learn more, book here, and it will click you through. So that was a new addition in the last few weeks as well. And then where it comes to our public relations, I just wanted to let you guys know that what you're looking at here is literally a query that comes in. These come in every single day. And we get anywhere from 3 to 7 of them from reporters saying, this is information that I need. I'm looking for information on this. Can you please supply it? And as you can see, it's giving us a due time and date. Almost all of them are the same day. We definitely spend our time answering these because this is how we get so much unearned media. We're really, really good at being able to respond to these and getting it noticed by reporters. So that brings me almost to the end of my presentation. And really what I really, really wanted to say to all of you is, I know that when I was here last, we discussed our travel guide. We had put together a committee that looked at the travel guide. They were a diverse group of 18 people. They met for about 4 or 5 weeks and did a lot of really good work. And they did come down pretty much in favor of a printed travel guide. Any of those plans, however, are on hold because I Love New York in this budget was slated for a 35% cut to their matching funds program. And the travel guide is highly dependent on the use of matching funds money. And I don't want to move forward with any plans until I, or unless I know that the money is there and it's secure. And so I did just want to address that with you. And I understand that since I put this presentation together, Albany has come up with a budget deal. I do not know what happened to the 35% cut in matching funds money. And so I'm just going to close with what we hope we inspire people to do is to come to Ulster County and find their own shooting star to wish upon. So I'm going to stop sharing now. And hopefully we will go back to me looking at you. And I can take any questions that you might have. And I do just want to say that Kevin is 100% right. We do believe the Trails Town model could be very important for Ulster County, our tourism visitation. And we're hoping to take a look at that and maybe make some real strides toward that within the next year. Do you have any questions?
Well, first I just want to say thank you, Director Berger. That was an excellent presentation and highlighted some of the more beautiful parts of Ulster County, and that's great. And I'm hoping that it's effective and we draw more and more and more people here to spend their money here. Some people don't like hearing that. I do like hearing that.
You know, I love hearing it.
But anyway, thank you. And if anyone has any questions, please feel free. Okay, I don't see anyone, but let me just make sure both screens here. Anybody over here? No. So back, real quick, back to the travel guide. So what would be the lead time to make that an effective distribution for this tourist season, being that we're not quite sure what's going to happen in Albany, if you decide that that's a route you want to take?
Right. So we have enough travel guides from last year to actually get us through until the end of August, we think. And I'm saying that with caution because I have to tell you that right now, our requests for travel guides are at 100 or more a week coming into this office. All right, I haven't been here in 7 years, but that seems like high demand. And so to answer your question, really we would need to get an RFP out and then to be able to award a contract and go through all of that. We may not have enough time to do it based on what happened with New York State's budget. I can say though that the group did come down in favor of what would be called more of a sizzle piece than a phone book. There has been, there's been a lot of talk about how particularly well-done bespoke print pieces are something that people are gravitating to and something that curates an experience for people and then drives them to the website is really the way to go with this. And there are print-on-demand options, Chairman Cahill, that we haven't explored in the past, but that maybe we do if time is a limit. So it's a lot of hedging that I just gave you.
Well, thank you very much. Anyone else have any questions? Go ahead, Legislator Archer.
Thank you. That I have both trails and tourism here, one of the questions I have is, do we understand where we may have technology gaps on the trail? I mean, part of the value of the guide is that it has all the maps in that. but if we were to have everything on the phone, which it seems to be the go-to place most people go to today, do we know where we may have issues or gaps? And have we identified those as potential opportunities for better cell coverage?
To answer your question, Lynn, I think that's a fantastic question. And to my knowledge, we do not, other than to say that we know there is not enough cell coverage, especially in the northwest part of our county. And it makes it very difficult for people to get around. And it's even a safety issue for some visitors, right? And so the guide, just so that you know, it serves two purposes. It serves an in-market purpose to help people find things when they're here, but it also is a publicity piece in normal times when we are out at travel shows or at the stopping plazas along the freeway, so that if you're not there, you're kind of not in the mix. So, but as I said, the way that travel guides seem to be going is in a curated experience. It's not necessarily a phone book that drives people back through QR codes to the use of the website. And the map is the most important thing in that guide. And so we have not ruled out the idea of just printing a map. That may be the solution when we're out of travel guides, you know, to get us through this year. And especially if I Love New York Matching Funds money is not available.
Well, can I, are we done, legislature?
Just a follow up. I understand the double value that the guide brings, but I'm really concerned. And, you know, we've got a new kind of reinvigorated vote, a focus on broadband and cell coverage, et cetera. I think it's probably important that we start to identify where those gaps are, so that we can look to providers to try and close the gaps in areas more remote and just for safety, but also for accessibility to what's around, what's available. Because, you know, traveling, particularly in the northern parts, it is, you know, you're lost without cell coverage and mapping and just even being able to identify what amenities are around you. So I think it would be an important initiative from a tourism perspective.
So Director Berger, have you thought of just, short of printing a whole travel guide, just like doing a QR code that links and say, here's Ulster County Travel, bang, and then it's downloaded to the phone and it's over there whether you got cell service or not, right? That would be something that I think would be, you know, extremely advanced, you know, because we could just put a QR code in the rest areas, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I see Alan has his hand up, but that's a fantastic question, Chairman Cahill, because actually it came up as far as a way also to, if we did something that was short and small like that, to put a message on about leave no trace, which is increasingly important to visitation, right? Like, you know, so that is, you read my mind, and I see Alan was waving his hand. So Alan, what were you gonna say?
It's kind of along the same lines, but like a mobile app. Like if there was a free mobile app that would be Android or iPhone based that really just pulls from static content that you can actually, you know, keep it fresh. So the mobile app acts as a framework to kind of pull content from the website pre-programmed. And I think it's pretty lightweight, you know?
Okay. Anyone else?
So it'll be ready when, Alan? It'll be ready.
Yeah. I'm working on it right now.
I just, on that topic, for not having access to cell service or 3G, I don't think that the QR code is going to work because it still has to hit a website to download it. So the QR code is just like a URL.
Right.
So it's going to have to go to a site. And what you could do is do something where when they come to Ulster County, you know, through one of the gateways, wherever that might be, one of the exits or somewhere, they can download something that would have everything saved locally. And then that would be something that they could use. without service, you know, that would right. It would mean a lot of stuff saved locally, and they would just have that one shot. But I think that sounds like a great idea.
Right. Yeah, that was kind of like what my suggestion was, is to download it at the Hot Shop and bang, you have it on your phone, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Kevin, go ahead.
Thank you. From a trail stewardship management standpoint, I can speak a little bit to this from our experience with the Ashokan Stewards Program, which is a partnership between the county, the Woodstock Land Conservancy, the New York, New Jersey Trail Conference, and New York City DEP. We're very fortunate at the Ashokan that we have cell coverage the entire 11.5 miles. And we have had emergency calls out there. People have had health crises, and you know, we've had to call first responders and get them out onto the trail. Additionally, we use Slack, a messaging system, for our stewards. Our volunteer stewards, when they're out there, are able to communicate with each other and also communicate with our steward coordinators if something comes up. And that can be all kinds of things, including a blowdown across the trail, you know, such as after these recent windstorms, we've been getting trees, you know, once, twice, three times a week almost. And we have stewards who are certified and can go out and take those trees down, and get them out of the way. We have other things where we have to move materials for the stewards from one trailhead to another trailhead. And all of this is happening on Slack. And then lastly, thinking about, you know, the managing users, because we have a lot of tourists that are coming here in addition to our residents. So we can actually send people to another trailhead because our stewards actually know that the Ashokan Station trailhead still has 40 parking spots. Whereas Boyceville is already at maximum capacity. If we extrapolate that out beyond just that trail, that potentially could be the kind of thing that could be used to help move people from the River to Ridge trailhead, you know, or Bennett Water, wherever it is that's overcrowded, and send them to another trailhead, perhaps another trail, and spread them out to other really beautiful places and manage our visitors better.
I think that's an excellent idea. You know,
I don't know if Dennis has any thoughts on that, but that's the kind of forward-looking management and stewardship that we think we need to be looking at.
Well, great. Thank you. Is there any other questions? So we do have a few other things on the agenda we'd like to get to, but I will give you an opportunity for anyone who wants to speak on these two subjects before we move on. We good? All right. So again, thank you both for your presentations. We appreciate it. I see good things coming from both of you over the summer in Ulster County. I just feel very positive about what the next few months are going to bring around here. And you guys will be a big part of that. So thank you.
Thanks for your support.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move on to resolutions. And I just want to take a look at a quick note I have here. Okay. So for resolution 171, supporting the recommendations of the Ulster County Housing Action Plan of 2021, completed by Pattern for Progress, and creating an Ulster County Housing Task Force for the Department of Planning. I'll accept a motion.
I'll move it.
And a second. We have a second.
One second.
Okay. Any discussion on this? I know Evelyn's here, if you'd like to ask her anything about this. And I think this is the one that I circulated, asked that we take a look at beforehand, right? Mm-hmm. So we all good on that? Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I thought it was, you know, a pretty comprehensive plan. I thought it was well executed. Just wondering about now, you know, how do we move forward and, you know, what kind of solutions are we looking at?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I apologize. I didn't get a chance to write back to your really thoughtful suggestions, but the core of what you suggested in terms of working with municipalities to identify priority areas for building is very much what we're thinking about in terms of the Housing Smart Communities Initiative, which is really the core or the centerpiece of the five recommendations. Because of course, as the county, we can support, we can lead, we can encourage, but all these decisions are ultimately taken at the local level. And so what we're looking at, and Dennis can say more about the you know implementation of this, is to work with municipalities in a structure that we modeled on the state's Climate Smart Communities program. So there's a menu of actions that municipalities can take, starting from taking a pledge to join the program and setting up a committee to work through it, just like with the Climate Smart program, and then choose from a menu of options around zoning and land use planning, streamlining the approvals process, short-term rental regulations, as well as actions around energy efficiency and energy costs. But the real kind of holy grail action is to do the kind of community process that you talked about, where you actually really take a look at what are the needs in our community, what are the priority areas that we really want to preserve in our community, and given all that, what does it make sense to build and where, and get to a pre-approval point with those projects and go out and seek through an RFQ process a developer to build the things that the community wants. Right. Rather than kind of passively waiting for projects to come along and then fighting about them. Right. So
I just want to add one thing, and that is, even if we could just do it with one community, you know, rather than going out to everyone, is there one community that has come to you and said, we want to do something and we want to do something quickly? Or is that not the case?
There are several communities that have already come forward. So I've been in the last couple of weeks to present at the Woodstock and Marbletown town boards, who are both very, you know, have processes going on. Woodstock has had a really active housing committee for a couple of years now, and they're getting ready to go through some zoning change process. I was rescheduled from New Paltz due to other scheduling snafus this month, but I'm there next month. So, you know, we've had a lot of interest already. I think we're looking at trying to intensively support communities through a consultant at a budget determined level. So probably a handful this year, three or four. And then, you know, looking at trying to get through everybody who wants to participate over the coming years. Let me let Dennis say more about what this may look like.
So I thank you, Evelyn, and I appreciate the time. And what I would say to the committee is it's been a very interesting a couple of months since the conversation sort of intensified around this the housing action plan, and we're already seeing communities on their own initiatives take actions that are similar to what has been proposed and to discussed within the document. We're reviewing right now, this month, we're reviewing changes in accessory dwelling units in the town of Olive that would now permit them in all the zones. Changes to short-term rental restrictions in the city of Kingston. Complete redo of zoning statutes in the town of Esopus relative to things that they needed to do in terms of housekeeping, but also relative to the affordable housing provisions. So it's already taken hold with respect to, with this basically the county saying these are things that you should consider doing, and the communities are recognizing that we're actually in a crisis and moving to make some changes to their zoning statutes on their own. So that's the first thing that's happening. The second thing is I think that we do have this opportunity to essentially work with communities to basically go through what I would call a similar to what environmentalists do with an NRI process, but sort of expanding it so that not only are you looking at the places where you shouldn't build, but you're also identifying those areas that that you can build. We've had some initial discussions with Patterns for Progress, but given what we're looking at here, we're probably going to have to go through a RFP process to bring a consultant on board. And then we would manage the consultant at the county level and work with communities that are willing to say that they're interested in moving forward, rather than entering into a process at a community level, which sometimes can take months and years in order to complete, and then nobody wants to take action. So that's what we're working out right now. That scope of services for the RFP process. You have to give us a little time. We're a little bit busy, but I think that we'll have communities that are interested. We already have communities that are acting similar to what is in the report with respect to the recommendations, and the consultants are picking up on this as well.
Great. Anyone else? I'm sorry, Lynn, did you have your hand up? No. All right, Abe, go ahead.
Yeah, I just was curious, and you might already be doing this, but when you're meeting with local communities, are you inviting the legislators that represent those districts to join?
I let Legislator DeLon know about my appearance at New Paltz, which then was canceled. So, you know, I think I'm doing it in a spotty way, but I will make an effort to do it in a more orderly way.
So is there a schedule? Do you have a schedule?
That's the only one that's on the schedule right now. I've been moved to the May meeting. So I will certainly keep everybody posted as those come up.
Yeah, because I know, as we've discussed before, I think showing the support of the legislature as well, is really very important, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Legislator Archer.
Now, I think you also met with the Housing Committee in Rochester, which is not the town, but you met with the committee that, and didn't you do a presentation with them as well?
I spoke with Diane.
Oh, okay. So you did. Oh, okay. So you didn't meet with the committee, or you were scheduled to meet with the committee, I thought, at some point. Maybe not.
I think we talked about doing that when they were a little further along.
Okay. Okay, and have you heard from our supervisor?
I have.
Dennis, okay.
Yeah.
Because I know that they're already doing some updates to the code. They have a team together, and I just want to make sure that everybody's linked in.
We've also met with the supervisor. Also had us in a gateway meeting with a project proposal. On Route 28, I'm sorry, Route 209, and we made that discussion there with respect to what they're doing, and that is in part of that will be an affordable housing proposal, and it's a reuse of some existing structures on site.
The old Maybrook.
That's correct. So we've had some interesting discussions, and they have a unique provision in their zoning statute for essentially allowing increased densities on these areas where there's blight and also where there's an affordability issue. So the developer is going to take an advantage of that. I can tell you there is some pushback from members of the town board with respect to that, but not from the supervisor.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so any other questions on this one? If not, I'll call for the vote. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. Move on to resolution 172, which is authorizing the continuation of the agricultural district number 1, Hudson River, towns of Esopus, Lloyd, New Paltz, Plattekill, and Marlboro, Department of Planning.
So moved.
Second? Second, Legislator Archer. Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. And I think we'll get this on a record. Oh, no, not yet. All right, 174 is appointing the alternate member to the Ulster County Planning Board for the town of Ulster.
You skipped 173.
I did. Town of Marbletown, sorry. since I announced 174, we'll do that, and then we'll come back to 73. Appointing a member to the Town of Ulster Planning Board.
Yeah, no? Motion.
Second. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we'll go back to 173, which is appointing a member to the Ulster County Planning Board for the Town of Marbletown.
So moved.
Lynn, Legislator Litz, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and then we're going to come down to resolutions 175, which is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $5,000, causing the aggregate contract plus the amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into the county by the United Way of Ulster County, Incorporated, Office of Employment and Training. I know we have an abstention from Legislator Uchitel on this. Someone want to move it?
I'll move it.
A second by Legislator Archer. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And abstention, Legislator Uchitel, correct? Okay, thank
yes,
you.
Please.
And then 176 is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $46,720, causing the aggregate contract plus the amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into the county, United Way of Ulster County Incorporated, Office of Employment and Training. Someone want to move that?
I'll move it.
Okay, second. Second by Legislator Corcoran. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And abstentions? We have one. Okay. And then resolution number 178 is authorizing the county executive to enter into a memorandum of understanding between the Ulster County Workforce Development Board, the New York State Department of Labor, New York State Education Department, New York State Office of Children and Family Services, and the New York State Commission for the Blind, Department of Employment and Training. Moved by Legislator Archer, second.
Second.
Legislator Litz, any discussion on that one? No? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Did we jump?
We jumped. 177.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in a hurry, I guess. I want to get out of here. The Yankees are on. I'm sorry. So 178 is good. Okay, so we'll go back to 177 then. Sorry.
One question, 178. Are you abstaining on that, Legislator? You should
no, talk. Just the ones with the federal pass-through. Yeah.
Okay. So 177 is authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an intermissible agreements with various municipalities for the operation of the Summer Youth Employment Program and the Young Adult Employment Program.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. What's our participation this year? Are we seeing an uptick? Because last year, didn't we suspend the program?
No, we ran the program last year. It was smaller than usual, but we did run it. I think the application period has either just opened or is just about to open.
Oh, so we don't know yet. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And then resolution 179 is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $60,141 entered into the county by CB20 Incorporated, formerly known as Computer Professionals International for IS. Someone want to move that?
Move it.
Okay, moved by Legislator Uchitel, seconded by Legislator Litz. Any discussion? So what exactly is this one? I always like to find out what the computer stuff is.
This is just, it's to increase the not exceed value mm-hmm. for their services and to extend it until March 2022. They're a very strategic partner of us, and we're relying on them more heavily in the last couple of months, and we expect into 2021. As we have a lot of initiatives moving forward. I mean, they help us handle everything from our virtual machine environment, our storage, our Windows desktop support, and our entire networking infrastructure. So they're a very critical piece of the equation for us. And again, we expect to use more of them in the next, as we unwind COVID-19 and some other initiatives that are coming.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure, of course.
For the Microsoft 365 stuff, are they a reseller for that, or does the county contract that directly from Microsoft?
Not Office 365. We get that through
I see that. So this is just the email.
Yeah, but they help us with configuration, et cetera. They
So it's a managed service contract.
Yeah. It's a service contract. They help us manage certain rules, security policies and things that we, you know, cloud-based type of stuff. Like they've helped us. We're prototyping a DR failover into the cloud, and they're helping us prototype that, for example, right?
Is there an SLA in here for the uptime for all the programs that they're running? Like, did they come in when there's a like an outage from any of these and deal with it, or is that
they will? Yes. So a lot of what you see, there are a lot of technology we have the staff in house to respond to, like the level one types of responses, you know, level two types of needs. And then we get into the kind of level three where we need to kind of dig into some of the problems or what the root cause might be. Then we bring them in for things like that. If that answers your question.
Yeah, it does.
Any other questions or comments? All right, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So we're done with our resolutions. And just wondering, is there any old business that anyone would like to bring up tonight? Okay. Is there any new business that anyone would like to bring up tonight? Okay. Well, you know what that means, Herb.
I will make a motion for adjournment, sir.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
And
everybody again, have a great night. Yeah. Be safe. Stay healthy.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
You too. Thank you all.
Take care.
Thanks.
Thank you, Fawn.